Hey, y'all, it's Eric. And, you know, I've been thinking of better ways to try and be more efficient during this whole COVID crap. And it's been pretty nuts going to the stores and seeing either out-of-stock items, buku people in the store, or even worse, someone that has to quarantine. Ugh. Well, it's safe to say there is a better way out there. And that's why I partnered with Instacart to help you get those groceries that you really need to your door as fast as 1 hour. You heard me. 1 hour. And you just simply download the app, you give your preferences, and the Instacart shoppers will get the products you love from your local stores. And yep, I also said stores. That means you can shop at multiple stores on one single order. So no more going through the supermarket delivery service where you're only able to get a few items that you need and still got to wait for hours to get your groceries. Look, I don't even want the damn avocados no more. I needed them for my smoothie 2 hours ago, you know? So check out Instacart, y'all. Click on the link in the show notes to let them know that I sent you and go shopping. That casserole is waiting for you. Instacart. Never step foot in a grocery store again. Welcome, boys and girls, to another episode of the I'ma Keep Going podcast. Of course, my name is Eric. I thank you so much for listening in, and as always, I appreciate you for continuing to listen. I am going to jump right into my segment that I like to call Post It. It's essentially an extension of some thoughts that I had on a previous Facebook group post. And if you haven't had a chance to check out the Facebook group yet, definitely go online to facebook.com and you can take a look at it. And just search I'ma Keep Going, and you'll see the group. Right now we have about maybe 30 members, and the intent is to make it grow a little bit larger and to make it a lot more inclusive to the things that we have going on with I'ma Keep Going, the podcast. And it's just a place for motivation, for inspiration. I normally post something Monday through Friday. You're definitely welcome to post something as well. And yeah, just check it out. Also, check out my Instagram page at I'ma Keep Going One. Yeah, I'm looking to grow both of those. In fact, in the next couple of weeks, I'll be doing giveaways on both the I'ma Keep Going One on Instagram as well as the Facebook group. So be on the lookout for both of those and definitely join in. In fact, some of the reason for this particular Post-It rant is because of social media and the influence from that. So last week, I talked a little bit about influence and how it can actually control your life. You know, I'm actually talking about the kind of feeling of being influenced by somebody. You know, how you see something online and then all of a sudden you want a part of that as well because you think it's going to make you cool and all that shit. And yeah, we all know there is so much shit on the news today that causes us to have like a really rambunctious mood, just wanting to hurt people because of their ignorance, looking for a reason to expose somebody on social media because of clout chasing, and I don't know, just being an overall asshole about stuff because you see somebody online acting a certain way and you feel you need to do the same thing too to make yourself look good or to make an impact in somebody's life. I don't know, but I'll be honest with you though. I was kind of working on that third thing a little bit, trying to be like somebody else because I thought it would be irresistible to the ladies and, you know, a little bit more intimidating to the dudes, but come on, I was tripping. You know I was tripping, y'all. And if you feel like you need to do or act or even be a certain way similar to that because of someone else, then you tripping too. I mean, somebody said it best when they said it's best to be yourself because everyone else is taken. And I swear if I see one more person that looks or tries to act like a goddamn Kardashian, I swear I'm gonna flip my lid, y'all, because they are. Yo, I mean, they are not the poster children for beauty at all. In fact, they are just as selfish, conceited, vain, fame hungry, money hungry. I mean, people that I've seen on TV. Now, granted, they are very smart, too, because they figured out a way to use their air quotes influence to boost their fame in their pockets and all continuing to make themselves feel relevant and seem relevant to the world. And I mean, you know, we see it all the time with social media influencers. A lot of people try to dress like one of the Kardashians and act like that and, you know, have a certain look about them. And it's just, come on, y'all, we got to stop, man. At what point do we actually begin to have some level of individuality? You know, it's gone now. I mean, it's almost non-existent to a point where people who feel like they have their own individual thinking, way of thinking, is considered an outcast. Come on, y'all. You shouldn't be influenced easily by people and by situations that are around you. We should all be able to have our own free way of thinking about certain things in certain scenarios and making up our own decisions based on those scenarios. And y'all, we got to do better when it's all said and done. We just got to do better, y'all. We just have to be better with who we are and knowing who we are as a person and knowing who we are as individuals. To own thyself, be true. You know, just be true to yourself, and then you won't ever have to worry about, you know, being looked upon as just a clone of someone else. So that's my rant, y'all. I'm done. So this particular episode will focus more on relationships and things like that. I'm actually, I had a chance to interview someone or even just have a conversation with someone who will remain anonymous. However, they had a lot of questions about love and about relationships. And the person and I talk often. And we, you know, we have some really candid conversations about things and about how, you know, people are, guys are in this world, how women are in this world. And I really would like to, at the end of the day, just take a listen, you know, listen to her thoughts, listen to my thoughts on it. And if you guys have any critiques on it, definitely give us a shout. And, you know, let us know what you thought about it. Let us know what you feel. I will be doing a few more episodes like this with anonymous people talking about certain situations that may be, you know, impacting their lives. But, you know, the people want to remain anonymous. So, yeah, be on the lookout for those particular episodes. And in the meantime, enjoy my conversation with Anonymous. So thank you, everybody, for continuing listening to I'ma Keep Going podcast. Of course, I am Eric, and I am here with an anonymous person. And I think it's a good thing that we chose to go anonymous, because a lot of times people have things to say, things that they want to say, but they just don't really feel compelled to say them a lot. And I was having a conversation with this person recently, and, you know, a lot of the things we talked about just kind of touched me a little bit. And in terms of relationships and how, you know, things are when it comes to relationships, and how a lot of times we can get so convoluted in ourselves and in our thoughts and stuff. And, you know, sometimes we can either miss the boat on a really good relationship, or we can just say, man, I dodged the bullet on that one, you know. And I wanted to have you on because I felt that what we were talking about was really good stuff that a lot of people can probably benefit from. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, I just really believe that a lot of the stuff that we talk about, that we talked about, and when it comes to relationships and how people are dealing with certain things, especially right now during COVID and, you know, all the things that are going on right now with that shit, man, just, you know, people are having really significant issues when it comes to their relationship and how they see things and how they tend to operate. And, you had brought up something once before, or earlier we talked, and you had brought up something about, you know, the difference between an alpha female and, you know, what's considered an alpha female, or even just and a beta male. And we touched on it a little bit, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about that, though. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, let's go ahead.
Yeah, so I know we mentioned earlier about how you were saying that you wanted to, that some people look at you as an alpha female. And I wanted to see if you can kind of talk a little bit about that, about why they think that you are that way.
Well, it's interesting. It is enough is that for the past, since last year, all the way up to now, I had my male friends who have, and keep in mind, I have more male friends than female friends. That's always been like that in my life. And the male friends have told me that one of them said that I'm just like a straight dude. All I'm missing is the penis, right? And then and he knew me. He's been knowing me since I was 15 years old, right? So I said, well, you need to be breaking it down for me. He was like, well, you act like a guy. You know, you don't have that natural emotional type of filter, you know, that I would see in a, that I would expect to see in a female, you know? And then I had one of my other guy friends said last night how the way that a woman, I will react based off of how he would expect a woman to be towards a man. He said, I don't get that vibe from you. And how I run a certain way. I run a certain structure, right. You know, in life, in friendships and relationships. And, you know, the attitude is, this is kind of my tunnel vision of this is how I expect things to be. You know what I'm saying? And I don't give that, you know, that, ooh, that, you know, that attach attention that, you know, to build a man up and make him feel a certain type of way on a regular basis. You know what I mean? So, and I was pointing that out by males. You see what I mean?
Right. Well, and let me say this real quick.
If you ask my close female friends, they were like, oh my, you know, like, I'm telling you about my, you know, girl problems. And you're just like, oh, well, just move on or just do this or cut, do this. And, you know, like a straight black and white type of response. And, you know, and I'm just kind of like, that's just not how I am. You see what I mean? And, you know, even my son's father told me a long time ago, like me and him could not be able to work in a healthy partnership as far as a couple, because he's an alpha male and he described me as an alpha female. Like I won't budge so easily, you know, I won't kind of break down and show my vulnerability, you know, towards a guy or emotions towards a guy. You see what I mean? So, yeah.
I do. I see exactly what you're talking about. And one thing I will say is something that you said a few seconds ago that kind of touched me, because I believe a lot of this is, or I believe a lot of times this is missed when it comes to relationships and stuff like that. And when you mentioned about, you know, I'm not going to necessarily cater to a man, but I'm not going to pamper a man. Or I'm not going to, you know, do these things or whatever. Or I don't feel like, you know, it's something that's needed or whatever. Or you said something on the lines of that. And you know, that, in my opinion, is one of the biggest things that is missed when it comes to relationships, is because I strongly feel that a man should be, you know, lifted, you know, by his significant other. And if they don't get lifted by the significant other, then either one or two things are going to happen. Either one, they're going to start looking for it somewhere else, you know, or two, they're going to become despondent of the person that they're with. Or they're going to become like, okay, you know what? Since you're not going to do it, okay, it's cool. Don't even worry about it. You know, they're going to become numb to it. And neither one of those scenarios is fucking good at all, you know, because, you know, and a lot of that, I think, has to do with, you know, the person who's playing the alpha role. Like if you're playing the alpha role, a lot of times people don't have time to, I don't have time to cater somebody, because at that point you think that they're babying them. Like, I'm babying you. I don't need to baby you. You know what I mean? And a lot of times that's not how it is, man. Like, you know, even for me, you know, full disclosure, you know, my spouse and I, we've talked about this before. Like, you know, sometimes men like to be feeling like men like to feel needed too. You know, men like to feel wanted. You know, I like to feel wanted. I can't speak for all men, but I like to feel wanted sometimes and needed sometimes. And it was a hard conversation that I had to have with her, and not just with her, but just with any type of relationship, because I'm somewhat of a sensitive guy. Now, I can be, you know, I'm not a dick by any means at all, or, you know, I'm not an alpha male or anything like that, but I think I'm considered a cool cucumber, where I can just be, I'm just that guy where I'm just really cool. But at the same time, I have feelings too. I have emotions too, especially now, given everything going on with mental health, man. You know, you want to be able to uplift the people and stuff like that. So when you said that just now, it kind of touched me a little bit, because it's like, man, you gotta do that to your counterparts. You gotta lift your people up, lift your significant other up in order for them to feel special. You know, I don't, I don't think a lot of people do that, especially when it comes to relationships now, because this shit is, man, look, this COVID shit has kicked a lot of people.
Let me just tell you this. Okay. I won't say that I will discredit or not, you know, look at my partner or potential partner's, you know, well-being. You know what I'm saying? I think that that's a strength that I have, that I can be able to be the strength and show them through my, the way I move, how, you know, let me show you more so than actions and words, you know what I mean? And I think that that's kind of where I come into, but I just kind of grown to know that I've been like this since I was 15. Well, actually 13. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And my father was in and out of my life until the age of 13. You know what I mean? And that kind of prepared me or molded me into that self-independent, self-aware type, and you know, as far as attributes about myself. You see what I mean?
Right.
And I think that, you know, I had to naturally build that type of, you know, barrier or wall around me to be like, okay, well, you know what? Like, you got to go out and get it. You got to go out and do this. You got to, you know, constantly raise the bar for yourself. You know what I mean? And it's going to be, it's kind of hard as a woman, grown woman, to be able to kind of let that down for a potential partner, if that makes sense.
It does. It makes sense. But I feel that you need to let that down in order for you to be able to have a sustainable relationship with somebody, because keeping a guard, it's almost like having, when you're keeping your guard up, that means you're almost preparing for something to happen. You know, you're preparing for the worst case scenario, which I've had conversations with people about this before, about the idea of having one foot out the door at all times. You know what I mean? You can't have one foot out the door at all times and then expect to be in a loving relationship, because in the back of your mind, you're going to always be looking for that thing to happen, that thing that makes you like, okay, you know what, man, I'm out. Fuck this shit. I'm out. You know what I mean? And I don't think you can have a healthy relationship having that type of mindset. Not to go against the mindset that you have, because yours was, you know, your mindset was built based on previous scenarios that happened in your life, you know, so I can understand that significantly. But my suggestion is, I mean, why not go all in when it comes to having a relationship? Because I feel a relationship is just like anything that you do, like whether it's starting a business, whether it's, you know, you're going with a job, whether it's you're learning how to play basketball or whatever. You're either going to be in or you're not going to be in. You're either going to be in or you're going to be out. You can't have one foot in the door or one foot out the door waiting for something to happen, or with the expectation that something is going to happen. And then, you know, when something happens, you're like, oh, see, I told you, you know, and I know that's when it comes to relationships and stuff like that, it's a tricky slope, because, you know, a lot of times people don't want to be hurt. You don't want to be hurt. You don't want to be, you know, you don't want to feel that heartache or anything like that, because it's like one of the worst fucking pains to have. Right. But at the same time, you're only 50% sure that you're going to have that heartache. What about the other 50% when you just decide to go all in and say, you know what, whatever happens, happens. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about, what do you think about stuff like that? Because again, I always felt that when it comes to relationships, you got to be all in with it. You can't just play the side with the you can't just be in a relationship with the expectation that the relationship is going to fail.
Well, I mean, just keep it in mind. Don't ever want to walk into that feeling.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Right.
Nobody wants to do that, you know? But I just think that you have to kind of walk into it knowing that it may not be, you know, unicorns and rainbows, right? And you that's where the conversations have to be in place of being truthful to that person of what you're looking for. You see what I mean? Truthfully mm-hmm. of what you're looking for. And for them to kind of, as you're doing that, for you to display of who you are. You see what I mean? And because every time I talk to you, you're always thought provoking me.
See, a lot of times I do this or I say these things because I try to get clarity on the thought, because my goal is to, whenever I have conversations with people now, my goal is to try to think in their perspective. But in order for me to think in your perspective, I have to be able to get the insight that you're talking about. I have to be able to get it. So, because sometimes it just doesn't make sense to me. Like the things that, and I'm not saying what you're doing doesn't make sense. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that sometimes if it doesn't make sense to me, I have to, in order for me to understand something, it has to make sense to me. And, you know, and it just, it a lot of times things don't click. And that's why I always ask like 1,001 questions, because I want to make sure that whenever I do give insight on something, that I give it and I'm accurate with what I have to say, you know? Let me ask you something though. So when it comes to, in a relationship that you would have, right, with someone, and I know you mentioned earlier about how, you know, it's not always going to be roses and flowers and things like that, which I don't think anybody should ever go into a relationship feeling like it will be that way, because if you immediately go into something like that, then you it's doomed from the start, because don't be blind to it. You know what I'm saying? Don't be blind. Right. Be cognizant of the things that are going on around you. But do you believe having a conversation with someone up front about the things that happened to you in the past, do you think that's beneficial, or do you think that's something that you should wait until later on into, let's just say, the entanglement that you guys are in?
No.
We ain't gonna say entanglement. Okay, we're not gonna say that.
Entanglement. No, I don't think so, because there are some people that are not worth to entangle with. I just, from, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm an open book when it comes to whoever that comes towards me. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? But I'm confident in going into in that way. And I think it's important to find out, can this person that can handle what, can understand what I've been through and understands, you know, this, the direction I'm going. You know what I mean? You have to understand my past to understand me as a present and know how to carry on in the future. You see what I'm saying? And I don't think that it's nothing wrong with putting that out there towards a person who brings up the fact they're interested in you. They want to get to know you. They want to, you know, explore like of the friendship and everything else. I think it's very important that you put that out there, you know?
Right. I get
and
you.
Like when you go buy a car, you see everything that's right there on that, you know, that like white sheet, you see all the facts and specs about that car. You see what I mean?
Right. I do.
You see all the specs, you see everything. This is what you're getting. This is what you're getting if you decide to invest into this purchase. You see what I mean? So, and I just kind of, I used to be shy about, I'm going to give just a little bit about myself here and a little bit. And maybe a couple weeks later, I'll share something else, or I'll share, you know, another fun fact about me in a second month. No, because, you know, that as I'm doing it, I'm wasting time.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I get that. So
versus me just give you a snippet, a little recap all in one. And let me see for myself, can you be able to handle what comes in my lifestyle? And I think that that's important to kind of see that firsthand instead of dragging it along.
So I guess what you're saying is at you should, like you say, give them the cliff notes of the things that may have that happened to you back in the past that dictate exactly how you are now. You should give them the cliff notes and you should let them decide at that point, okay, there's a song on the soundtrack or this movie called Rent or the play Rent, where it says, take me as I am or just leave me. And so what you're saying is if they want to invest some time into you or invest some type of relationship into you, you should let them know, okay, this is who I am. This is what has happened. This is how I feel about certain things. Now, okay, so two questions about that. So one, at what point do you tell them that though? I mean, do you tell them that, I know we kind of touched on kind of skimmed over it a little bit, but do you tell them like in the very beginning or do you tell them? Okay, so you let them know right off the rip before it gets it gets any farther. Okay.
Yes. And the reason why I do that is because if you're not being right up front at the beginning, and what ends up happening is time has passed, emotions might have developed. You see what I mean? Feelings might have developed either for both parties or one. And one may be feeling kind of blindsided or, you know, thought of it or perceived as something else, you know what I mean? Or thought of who you are as a person as a fantasy versus that this is reality. You see what I mean? So I think that's kind of why I chose that route to basically just be honest from the gate. This is who I am. This is the package.
Right.
This is the package right here. So can you deal with it or you can't? Okay, that's cool. It was nice knowing you.
But don't you think there's a little bit of a don't you think there's a little bit of a what's the word I'm looking for? Of apathy when it comes to that? Like, don't you think it's something like it? There's something to be said about people where it's like, oh, okay, whatever. Okay, cool. I mean, you know, I holler or something like that, you know, at what point? Okay, so let me ask you this. So what if the scenario or the situation gets off on the wrong foot right off the bat? Like y'all may have had a date or something like that, and the date just went complete batshit train wreck. Do you keep going after that first date, after that first encounter, or do you just say, you know what, screw this, I'm not even going to deal with it?
I think you know the answer to that. If the date was bad, if the first impressions was not it didn't stand out as a great impression, you're not going to, and even whether or not you just decide to disclose certain things to that person about who you are, and you do a little rundown.
Right.
You can still move around after that.
Okay.
I just have this thing of I'm very unapologetic when it comes to putting things out there, you know, towards people, whether it's strangers, family, or friends. I'm very unapologetic about that. You see what I mean? And that is just the vibe that I have.
do you ever think, or do you think that needs to change, or are you okay with the way it is now? Like, do you think eventually it may need to change, or do you think this is kind of how it is?
I think this is just kind of how it is, you know, just to be honest.
Okay.
And when you get to a certain point, certain age, just, you know that this is how you are. This is how I am. This is how I'm molded into being. And it's just probably not going to be a point where I'm going to change anything about my personality.
Okay. So.
You're trying to make me feel guilty.
No, not at all. Not at all. Look, yo.
You're trying to make me feel guilty. You're just trying to like, okay, well, let me ask you this.
No, not at all. Here's the thing, because I am about 90, I'm about 85% believe in the truth in what you're saying. I'm about 85% on board with you because I feel the same way. I feel that, you know, once you get to a certain age, you ain't got time to be playing no games with people. You ain't got time to be messing around. You ain't got a time, you know, time's a waste, and I'm not going to spend time on dumb shit, you know? So I agree with you. I agree with that aspect. However, I do also believe in you can teach an old dog new tricks.
Of course not. No. You
know, no, I'm saying I believe you can. You can teach an old dog new tricks.
You can treat an old dog new tricks.
Yes, I believe so. I believe that there are people in this world that can show you something brand new. I believe at the same time, if you're not privy to that brand new because you're stuck in the way that you're stuck in, then you won't ever be able to experience that brand new. I believe in that. So I'm kind of on the fence about both of them, in all honesty, but I just really believe that, you know, in order to get a little, you have to give a little. And I don't see you as a type of person that will be steadfast in, like, okay, you know what? You'll be steadfast in my intent, in your attention. You like, okay, you know what? These are my intentions. I'm letting you know this is how I am right off the rip, and you take it or leave it. I do believe in that. I know you. I've been knowing you for a few years now, for a long time, actually. I've been knowing you for a long time, but I know.
Right. But I mean, yeah. So my thing is, what's the problem with the approach that I have when it comes down to it? When you meet with a guy, what is introducing himself to? I don't see the problem with that.
Neither do I. I don't see a problem in getting straight to the point when it comes to certain things, especially when it comes to relationships, because like I said a few seconds ago, you know, I don't have time to be dealing with games, with mind games. You know, I don't have time to be dealing with people who play mind games and who be like, oh man, you know, it's, you know, whatever, you know, I feel you on that. I feel you 100% on that. Now, granted, I'm removed from it because it's been years since I've had to do that, but I know enough people to know that, you know, nowadays we're too old for that, you know, so I do understand that, and I'm not taking that away. I don't think anything is wrong with that notion. Although I do believe that once you're in a relationship and you think this has some potential, then I believe this is something that you want to continue on with. I don't think there's anything wrong with compromise.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? I don't think there's anything wrong with being submissive or playing the submissive role, you know, and not just a woman being submissive, but a guy being a little bit of a, you know, he's like, okay, baby, you know, you can do, you know, whatever you want. You got that, you know, not necessarily being completely submissive. I don't believe anybody should be completely submissive, but I don't see a problem with, you know, being that type of person where you can change. I don't see a problem with that.
Okay.
you just like, man, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. I just think that, like, you know, I've been through a lot, and it kind of it molded me into this person, and it would take a person, like you mentioned earlier, it would take a person to kind of, if I allow that, I see what you're saying on that part, to show me something differently. That's, you know, that's one thing. But Eric, you're a dude. You know, you gotta understand from in 2020 what women we have to go through. There's maybe about what 90, I can't say percentage. I'm not gonna do that. Fuck boys, I have to shit for.
Oh yeah.
it comes in my face.
Oh yeah.
And I was talking to my homeboy about that last night, and he was honestly saying, you know what? He said he's an engineer. So he said that the places I go to, whether it's like for a job or for, you know, after work, my lifestyle changed for the better, and places I would go, I don't see the women. I don't see the, you know, the women that are looking for or who are looking for love. You see what I mean?
Right.
And he said, I do see the women that are looking for love. They are at, you know, places they don't need to be. So to find that. But it's, we could go into that all night, you know, as a Black woman, you know, they have the statistics already for us. We're the last ones to get married. We're the most favorably to die from giving birth. You know, it's a lot of stacks against us, I feel, in which racially, emotion, as far as how way I am as a Black woman, like my homeboy was saying, what he was implying was Black women, he don't see Black women, educated Black women, successful Black women, or who are stable, independent, and where he goes. You see what I mean?
Right.
He sees them as women who want these things, Black women who want these things, but they're like at places like they shouldn't be, you know, in the club, the bars where they think they can find guys. You see what I mean?
Right.
But on the high side of it, there's a lot of other things that are piled up against us that makes it where we have to be a certain way. You know, right. We have to be more independent, extra strong, extra firm of what we want. You see what I mean? And I don't think we're ready for that conversation. We are the most least likely to get married. We are the most likely to have complication with birth, dying from birth, giving birth. You see what I mean? We are the least likely to be able to be promoted in the workplace. You see what I mean? We are the most disrespected. I would say out of all races, and, you know, least protected. And I think that all of those things as a Black woman, plus on top of the things that I have went through in my past, kind of put me in this bubble of a safe place for where I'm not going to tolerate from any man.
Right.
Or deal with as far as anything a man could come at me about, regardless of race or background or anything. I won't tolerate.
I agree. You know, the way you explained it just now is exactly how a lot of women, Black women particularly, feel. And
right.
Let me tell you this,
when as far as in the Black women community, we're separated from, you know, social class, education, you know, so we're separated amongst each other. You see what I mean?
Right.
And
It's hard. It's very difficult.
It's really hard because we're stacked against other races. Then we're amongst each other, we're against each other. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when it comes to it with the Black men, we don't feel protected or valued. And I'm not going to say all Black men, right? I'm not going to say that. But in which we should feel like we're protected by all Black men.
Right.
And we're not. You see what I mean? So when I see, and that's another going, when I see, and I've been seeing it, it's been increasing lately, that you see in Black women, successful Black women who are, I would say, flipping the script. They're becoming successful and they're either in an interracial relationship or interracial marriage. And I'm seeing all types of negative hate from Black men about that. You see what I mean?
Right.
About that. But when they do it and they become successful and they get an interracial relationship or a marriage, they feel like that we're tripping. You see what I mean? And I just kind of wish that we had like a way in which how we feel, how we value ourselves is more heard and accepted and respected, and it's not.
Yeah. I do want to touch on that a good bit on that the disparity of relationships when it comes to or how people view a relationship with a black woman, or just, you know, black women in relationships. So thank you guys for listening in, and we'll be back in a few seconds. Hey, y'all, it's Eric again with the I'ma Keep Going podcast. And I told you before about Buzzsprout. Well, guess what? I'm going to tell you again how easy it is and how it's the best way to launch and promote your podcast. I mean, it doesn't take long at all to be online and set it up with the major platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other ones. They've helped over 100,000 people get their message out to the world. And in all honesty, all you really need is some small gear like a microphone and a laptop and a quiet place to start recording your dreams. Plus, they'll give you the tools that you need to determine how many people are listening to your podcast and the tools to help you grow it. So what are you waiting on, y'all? Come on. Click the link on the show notes to get started and get a $20 Amazon gift card after you sign up with a paid plan. Easy peasy lemon squeezy, I promise you. So check it out, y'all. It's Buzzsprout, the easiest way to make a podcast. All right, welcome back, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we're having a really great conversation with Anonymous. And it is, we're talking some good stuff. You know, we talked about love and relationships and, you know, how sometimes the past can affect the current relationships and just the things that happen in between those times and how we should talk to people or how we should view relationships. But now we're talking a little bit more about black women and how black women are how the disparity of relationships with black women or how it's viewed in society now. And I agree with you with everything that you said just now about how, you know, all of that shit, man, is frustrating because, you know, we are there are a lot of black men, not all black men, obviously, but there's a lot of black men who really don't view their black women as the queens they are, or that don't view their black women as the strong suit or the stronghold that they can be. You know, we black women have, like you said earlier, you know, they're the least likely to have to be in marriage, to be married. They're least likely to move up the corporate ladder, more likely to have complications due to childbirth, and, you know, and more likely to have just complications as a whole, as a woman, in terms of like going to the hospital and going to the doctor, or the treatment they receive, I should say. But at the same time, one thing I will say is black women are now the leading entrepreneurs, the leading cause of entrepreneurs in society now, in America, I should say. And mm-hmm. that speaks volumes. And I want to say we talked about this before, like the whole idea of why, you know, again, this is all based on theory. This is not based on any type of factual statistics. But I remember telling you once before that I believe a lot of the reason why black women are the most likely to become a successful entrepreneur, or they're the largest genre of women who are of people who start businesses and are entrepreneurs, is because they aren't given that same type of opportunity in the corporate America. You know, right. They are given bullshit ass deals in corporate America. They are looked upon as, you know, a lot of times, you know, they're looked upon as the angry black woman. Like, I don't want to have somebody like this in my, you know, like a prospective employer may say, I don't want somebody like this. I don't want to have any type of conflict in my office or whatever. So I'm just not going to hire her. Now, it can be one person. It can be two different people, a white person and a white woman and a black woman, or even a white man and a black woman, or whatever. They both went to the exact same schools. They both had the exact same GPA and stuff like that. But the black woman more than likely will be passed over because, again, a lot of times these companies look at labels, or they look at how people have been labeled. And I just really feel that is one of the main reasons why there's so many successful black women entrepreneurs now, because they have no choice. you have no choice but to be the strong suit. You have no choice but to be that strong black girl, you know, the black girl magic, which I hate saying black girl magic, because, you know, that's not magic that black women know how to do these things. It's normal how black women know how to do these things. And I don't think that's magic. I think that's everyday life. You are built to protect, you know, you're nurturers by heart. And, you know, let me just stop, 'cause I'm going on a whole tangent with this, but I just really believe that our black women are being targeted for that. And, you know, they're being targeted by some of these ignorant black men. They're being targeted by white men and white women or whatever, because they feel threatened possibly by it. I don't know. But either way it goes, I just really believe that when it's all said and done, our black women are the most strong species of life there is. You know, a lot of the thing, I mean, shit, everything started from a black woman, you know, birth, everything started from a black woman. So, you know, to have them feel like they're sub-citizens, or to have them feel like they're second class, is frustrating. It's extremely frustrating, you know? And that's all I'm gonna say. Right. I'm gonna get off my tan. I'm gonna get off my soapbox with it. But I just really feel that it's a difficult thing to have to be in a relationship with someone with a black woman, and you know, they feel, you know, they're not feeling like they're protected. I mean, that frustrates me, because it's like, you know, how are you not protecting our black women, man? How are you not protecting them? You know?
Right.
It's hard.
And it leads to the, if a black woman may feel like she's not protected by her own, she gets that love, that respect, that she's yearning for, and he may not be black.
Mm-hmm. And look, I'll do you one better, because she's probably not getting, she's probably feeling like she may not be getting that yearn, that love, that respect, that attention, or something from a black man. So guess what? She's hardened enough to, or she becomes hardened to the whole idea of having that. Like, she begins to feel like, you know what? It won't happen. Because if I can't even get this from my strong black man, then who the hell am I going to get it from? You know, I'm already hearing white men, you know, thinking that we're, you know, disgruntled, angry, you know, bitter and things like that or whatever. I'm already hearing from white women that, you know, they're trying to be they're intimidated by, you know, the magic that the black girl has. They're intimidated by it. So what else is there to do? Be that strong person that you are. Like, okay, it's time for me to put my guard up then. I guess that's what I'm getting at. You know, it's hard, man.
I was saying
that it's hard. You know, it's very difficult to have that type of relationship with a significant other. And, you know, and not feel like a second class citizen. And a lot of times, you know, our black women, we have to save our black women, man, because a lot of times they may, not to say all of them do, I'm not going to say that, but I would say the ones who feel like there is no hope, or the ones who feel like there is nothing else that can be done on their end or whatever, and they just have no choice but to be hard and to be that alpha female, you know, it's damaging. It's a very damaging feeling to have.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's hard, right? It's difficult.
It is hard, but you know, I wish I could see you this clip you add to it. They're watching. I don't know if you watched Scandal. And
of course,
have you ever watched Scandal? Oh, and then there was a piece in there when they captured Olivia Pope's mother. And she, her mother was connected to doing some type of, I don't know, terrorist act. But yet they needed her to conquer something in which the president would not be harmed, right?
I remember that episode.
And she was sitting there and she was just going in her mind saying tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. And she broke down the fact that you need a Black woman to fix this, fix these problems, fix you, fix this person, that person. But what about me?
Who fixes, who helps me?
Who's going, yeah, I'm too busy fixing other people. I'm too busy being this, you know, this what y'all need me for, but who's going for me? Who's going to be there for me? Who's going to protect me? You see what I mean? And it was so profound and powerful because it that's what the that message she said, that's what every Black woman's going through every single day. We are the problem. We're solving the problems. We're the ones that's putting the load on our back. We're the ones that's actually being that, like you mentioned, strong entrepreneur. We're being that daughter. We're being that mother, you know, and we're being that lover to whoever. We're doing everything for everybody else, but deep down we know we need somebody to do those things for us.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
First of all, let me say this. I believe every single word that came out of your mouth just now. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Do you think, or do you believe, particularly you, that if you receive that, then you can possibly let down your guard? Or that people can, do you think that we can, that people can let down their guard? Not particularly you. I said that earlier, but let me take that back. But not you particularly, but in general. Mm-hmm. If there is a rough exterior there, simply because of the weariness of the world, right? A Black woman has been through a lot. She's had to deal with a lot. She's had to put up with a lot. She's had to conquer a lot. And that, of course, comes with the expense of a hard, it comes at the expense of a hard exterior that becomes built up.
Right.
Do you believe a Black woman can remove that guard if they find someone right, or if they feel they have somebody right?
I would say yes, if the person's intentions are pure and genuine, right? And not take, they're not coming in wanting to take. You see what I mean?
Yes.
They don't want to take what they know you can already provide. Then yes. If they're coming, wanting to come into your life to add more, right? Add more to your life, not take away, then yes.
Okay.
You see what I mean? If they're willing to take I would say this, patience. If they understand your, like you said, rough interior, exterior, they understand what made you this way and patiently want to take the time to, you know, take the layers off. Like pull the layers off. And yeah, I would say yes.
Okay.
But will that person, as when I say being patient, I understand what I mean by that. You have to be able to wanting to understand that person. You want to understand why this person is this way. You see what I mean? I could tell you, like we mentioned earlier, I could tell you. Why off the gate? But as you as a man, it's like, so I still want her. I still want to be there, be with her, be there for her. Then I'm going to patiently go understand why she is the way she is.
Right.
And I'm going to have it where I want to earn her trust. You see what I mean? I want to earn her love. I want to earn her in the most genuine way.
Right. I get that. I get that 100%. And I believe the reason why I asked you that is because I'm pretty sure there's going to be some people that listen to this episode and they're going to be like, I just don't know exactly how to do that. I don't know exactly how to remove the exterior because I've had to put it up for so long, you know? And
but you mean as you did, so you the well, if you feel if a man feel, this is where the problems kind of comes into play. If you feel that if you feel that woman is God put that woman in your presence, right? I don't want to go into too much spiritual, but you feel something that she does that make you be attentive and see her and just her, right?
Right.
You're going to want to put that effort in. She's not going to even have to tell you. You're going to be 10 steps ahead of her to put the effort in. You're going to be 10 steps to put the patience in. You see what I mean? You're going to be wanting to, I want to get to know her, and I hopefully that she'll trust me enough to get to know me and see me for my value of who I am and see how I can add value to her life.
Right. Let me say this.
That sound bad, huh?
No, not at all. Not at all.
And the reason I put that out there because it's like, I kid you not. It's probably women out there that's going through this too. It's men who have been through, who weren't initially taught how to respect a woman, right? Mm-hmm. What may not have been given the tool, may not have been given the tools or may not have been taught by their mother or have that genuine love from their woman and their female in their life to show how to go about with it with an actual genuine woman.
Ooh.
See, a queen is going to prepare. Yeah, I tell my son this: a queen is going to prepare her prince to become a king. You see what I mean?
Man.
And that king is going to find that queen that reminds him of his queen, which is his mother. You see what I mean?
100%. I do. And that's what I was about to say. My relationship that I have with my wife, that's like what you're saying just now, exactly what you said just now is exactly how our relationship started. She had some things that happened to her in her past. I had some things that happened to me in my past. We were both, for all intent, broken people. We were both broken people. And we had to both learn each other. What I will say is this, because a lot of people sit back and they look at our relationship like, man, y'all got a weird relationship. But I'm like, y'all don't understand the things that we did, that we had to do to get to that point where we have this type of relationship that we have. And I'm not going to consider it weird by any long shot. Our relationship is...
Yeah, and now you know as you talk, I'm taking notes. You have to learn each other.
Yes, we had to learn. Not only did we have to learn each other, but we had to learn about each other, and we had to learn how to love individually. Mm-hmm. We had to learn that, how to love individually. Like my wife was that hard exterior, like that very, like, again, she was battle tested. She would always say that she's built for tough. You remember that slogan a long time ago when, with the four trucks, it's like built for tough. She would always say that because she would always have to be the one to provide, always have to be that person. And for me, I was that type of person where I was coming off, you know, multiple like relationships where I was just feeling like I wasn't worthy of anything. I wasn't worth shit with my previous relationship prior to my wife. Like I wasn't, I'm serious. Like it was to a point where, man, I wanted to take my life. Like it was, like I just felt like I wasn't worth shit, you know, and just you talking about what you're talking about, it just brought back those memories of how we've had to fight so much, not necessarily fight our, we not necessarily had to fight each other, because we didn't have to fight each other, but we had to fight within ourselves. We had to fight ourselves in order to get to a space where we are now, where if there is a...
Go ahead.
Okay, where if there is an issue, we've gotten to a point now where we talk it out. We talk out every single thing. We are that type of couple where we can talk about every single thing. Now, in the beginning, it wasn't like that, where it was hard, man. Like, it was hard because it was a hard shell for her to crack, you know, for her to crack me. And it was a hard shell for me to crack her. We had to learn each other in order for us to love each other. And for the first, I'll be honest with you, man, for the first, I would say 5 to 7 years of our relationship, it was hard because we kept trying to figure each other out. We were figuring each other out, but in the back of my mind, I knew without a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to work through this. I'm going to fight through this. I'm going to build with this, and it's going to end up being the best thing that ever happened to me. And I would hope that she feels the same way, that, you know, she had to fight through some of the things, some of the many issues that I had in my past, some of my dark past, and she had to fight, and I had to fight through some of her dark past. But we did it together, and we were able to fight it together. And now, you know, we still have our spats every once in a while. I like to laugh because we only fight maybe once a year, maybe twice a year. We fight like hard up fight, but we don't fight all the, we don't fight. I mean, there'll be times where we'll go months without having an argument about something, or we typically have debates, but we don't have arguments. But again, it took years for us to get to that point. So that's why I feel you when you say it takes that special type of person to not only crack that exterior shell that you have, but also be able to be there long enough to want to crack that exterior shell that you have. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
and then it does. And then also it vice versa. You see what I'm saying? And you mentioned about learn how to love individuals. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But my thing is that what about you learning? And this is just kind of what I've been reinvesting myself into doing, reminding myself, loving yourself first, yes. Right?
Yes.
And the thing about it is that a lot of people don't do that. You see what I mean? And I just kind of find that if you don't love yourself first, we already know you don't love yourself first, how can you expect somebody to love you, right?
Yep, I agree.
If you love yourself first, and as you're getting into a relationship with someone, you know, you can tell if that person loves themselves or not, right? You can tell like how they treat you, right? How they treat the situation, how they treat other people. And I just think that a lot of what I've seen a lot of people do is just they jump into relationships and they, when they get out of it, they don't understand why they, you know, why that relationship failed.
Right.
You know, they don't think about what they did or what they did wrong. They just like, okay. And they just repeat the cycle instead of trying to relearn themselves again.
Yeah, I agree. Look, there's something somebody told me a long time ago, and they said, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but they said, once you begin to love yourself, then you can determine if you love that person that you're with.
Right.
So if you love yourself, like once you begin to love who you are as a person, then you'll know if that person that you're with is somebody that you can love. You know what I'm saying? And I believe a lot of the conversations that people don't have with each other is if they love each other. Do you love yourself enough to understand that you're in a relationship with somebody who may or may not be good for you? You know, but you won't be able to determine any of that, obviously, unless you begin to love yourself. Once you love yourself, you can see, or you can know at that point if the relationship that you're in is a good one, or if it's a solid one, or if it's a terrible one. But again, mm-hmm. you won't know that until you actually begin to love yourself. So I agree right. with you 100%. You have to love yourself first before you can love anyone else.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. That was good stuff. I really appreciate the conversation. I believe this will help others out here in the world. And I believe that, you know, some of the things that you talked about will be something that can resonate with people that listen to this podcast. And if they have any questions, they can definitely reach out to me and I'll be sure to give it to the anonymous person that I'm talking to. And I definitely thank you so much for being a part of the I'm gonna keep going podcast, because ultimately, guess what? You got to keep going regardless.
Right.
So thank you so much. Thank you so much for being a part of it. And we will be back with the keep going moment.
Yay.
Welcome back to the I'm gonna keep going podcast. And here is your keep going moment. So let me tell you a story about power. Full disclosure, I actually had an experience with that drug called Power, and I don't want any parts of it at all. And this was on a small scale, so just imagine how much more surreal it would have been on a much grander scale. But I'm gonna tell you anyway what happened. Back in 2015, I ended up having a showcase called the TMP Experience. We were only projected to have about maybe 20 people show up to the event, but we ended up almost packing it out. It was about almost 100 people in the showcase. So, of course, I was the one running the show because it was my showcase. I was nervous as hell, but once the showcase got started, it was all good. I felt like a different person. I put it together with the help of my good friends, Angie and Brittany. They helped me with a lot, actually. During the whole time, I felt like a superstar, y'all, and people were holding on to my every word. I felt like I was the man. And it was going towards the end of the show, and I started giving thanks to all the people who helped me. I thanked everyone like I was supposed to, and I pointed to my wife, and I said to my wife, Tawna Lewis, thank you. And she looked at me and just kind of gave a little smile. And when it all ended, I started talking to other people, shaking hands, taking pictures, you know, the usual. And I looked back at my wife and I noticed she was sitting down by herself. Now, everyone else was mingling around, but she was just kind of staring around like almost in a daze. And I initially said to myself, man, let me go check on my wife and make sure she's okay. Let me grab her and bring her with me. But then I said, nah, she'll be all right. And I just kept on going, receiving praise and things like that, just kind of shaking hands and doing the same things. When it was all said and done and we were on our way home, and she didn't say anything at all. I didn't think anything of it at the time because I was still high off the event and how they loved me. I was just talking about that and how good of a job I did and how I couldn't wait to put on another one. And how I just felt like the man of the hour and just going on and on and on. And it just felt damn good. And yeah, when we got home, I finally said to her, okay, what's wrong? And she said, nothing. And I said, okay, are you sure? And she said, no. So, side note, that's the kind of relationship that my wife and I have. I sometimes have to ask twice if something is up. And a lot of times she has to do the same thing, because the first time it's an obligatory, it's the default answer. Like, no, everything is all right. And then when you ask again, that means that you're serious. And then that means they're serious, and then they can begin to discuss exactly what it is that's going on with them. She said, I can't believe during all this time you never once stood by me. Nobody even knew who I was until you said it at the end, and then you left me there. And I'm like, okay, now you tripping, because this was my night. Like, of all nights, this is my fucking night. And she said, I know that, and I'm not taking that away from you at all. And by this time, I got defensive and said, well, shit, I'll be damned. Yes, you are taking it from me. You're trying to take away my shine right now. This wasn't about you. This was all about me. I put this shit together. I did all of this. You can't even be happy for me for 1 minute. And now you're complaining about something. And she said, well, of course I'm happy for you. And of course I can be happy for you. You know I can. But you left me there. And it just felt like I wasn't even your wife. I just felt like a spectator. And I don't like that feeling. And then she got up, walked out the room, and closed the door. I was pissed. I was like, man, how dare she try to sit up there and say I wasn't there with her. I was too busily mingling with other people around, trying to get things popping, trying to, you know, rub shoulders and negotiate for the next time around. I can't believe she felt that way. I mean, that's just stupid. Until I realized something pretty important. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have even had the TMP experience. It was her idea for me to get people together. She suggested that I include music, art, and film, because I was only going to do film. She suggested I invite people to participate. She suggested I do it for free. Even when I was leery about the venue, she said, no, go with that venue, which, by the way, turned out to be an amazing space. Shout out to NOLA Spaces. She suggested it be in New Orleans and not Baton Rouge because I had more connections in New Orleans. She even helped me with the slideshow presentation, showcasing everyone. And which was one of the most pivotal things about the showcase, she suggested I create posters for the performers so that the audience can sign them. So yeah, without her, I wouldn't have even did one at all. Now I understand how she felt. It took a couple of days for me to understand that. But when I realized that the power and the fame had gotten to me, I vowed never, ever to let that happen again. And I know I just went on a full tangent here, but I just wanted to let you know that power doesn't mean shit if you forget about the people who got you to that power. So, moral of the story, don't let power consume you, because it can, and it will, if you let it. So that was my keep going moment, y'all. As always, I thank you so very much for listening in. Thank you very much to the anonymous woman who decided to share her feelings and explore and explain her feelings about love and the idea of relationships. Thank you so much for that. It was an eye-opening experience, and I'm pretty sure someone can take this back and learn something from it. So until the next time, may the best of your todays be the worst of your tomorrows. I am Eric. Thank you so much, and I will see you guys soon.